Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, some pretty good airfares are out there right now. The national parks turned 100 years old this past week, and we have an important warning for anyone flying out of LaGuardia Airport in New York in the coming weeks.
Back when we were younger, Mark, it was said that if you're going to marry someone, you should live with them first. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. Well, maybe I do is not the best answer for that question, but still.
Well, look, I'm going to update that old adage.
Okay, I got it.
Well, long before you consider marriage, when you are just getting all warm and fuzzy, if you really want to get to know that future spouse, go on a vacation with them.
Yeah.
At 3:20, Mark and I will tell you why traveling is the best test of any relationship.
And see if we're not true. If you when you hear what we have to say. At 3:35, John Nelson joins us to share what he did on his summer vacation and hopefully make you a little smarter traveler along the way.
Hey, if you saw the movie, National Lampoon's Vacation, John's vacation was one of those.
Goodness.
All right. Yeah. And at 3:35, John Nelson joins us to share that.
Yeah.
Finally, at 3:50, Mark has an update on the Pageant of the Masters in Laguna Beach. Beautiful in San Francisco and the Hunchback of Notre Dame at the Music Circus in town.
It was a theatrical week. Thanks for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon with a goal of making you a smarter traveler. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here every Sunday from 3 to 4 o'clock. And by the way, everything that we talk about in most cases, you can find at TravelGuysRadio.com. Also, if you'd like to leave the Travel Guys a travel question, or any kind of a question for that matter, you can do so right there on our website.
Or if you go to the... Turn the microphone on, Mark. If you go to the top of the webpage,
yes,
you can have a spot there. If you just leave your email address, we will send you a link to the podcast every week. So if you're driving around and you don't remember to turn on the Travel Guys on Monday, you'll get a little notice in your mailbox that says, hey, go here and listen to it without the commercials.
There you go. You look a little exhausted, Mark. It must be leading up to the Sports Leisure Vacations tour catalog preview event.
Yeah, we're working pretty much 7 days a week and kind of sort of around the clock and to put everything together. Yes, sir, that is true. And in fact, I do have some Sports Leisure news to go in our newscast today for the folks who travel with us who are listening, and we have a lot of things. I had a theatrical week, as you might have gathered from the headlines there. I got to go to Laguna to see the Pageant of the Masters. I'd wanted to see that for about 20 years, and got to see the next night the Hunchback of Notre Dame at the Music Circus here in town, and I have some thoughts on that. Plus, there's a show going on in San Francisco right now, the Carole King Story, Beautiful, that our company is taking hundreds of people, mini busloads, down to see it. And I have some thoughts on that, too. So we have a theatrical segment at the end of the program.
Yeah, and we'll save all those details coming up at 3:50. But right now, let's fire up the Travel Guys travel music and bring on Mark with the latest in the travel news.
Well, and we have got all kinds of stuff here, Thomas, this week. The TSA, last week, says that they took 81 firearms out of carry-on bags. We're not talking about checked bags now. We're talking about bags that people are carrying onto the plane.
And that would be in this country?
In this country, of those 81 guns, 70 of them were loaded.
Oh, my gosh.
31 of them had a round in the chamber. What are people thinking?
Oh, my gosh.
How in the world would you even...
You know what that does? I'm sorry, but that sheds a kind of a bad light on gun owners.
I think it does. I really think it does, because it tells me that given the right to carry the gun, they're too stupid to carry it properly. I'm sorry, but if 31 of them, yeah, exactly.
31.
31 had a round in the chamber. 70 of them were loaded. And you know what? Here's the deal. That was a record number of firearms confiscated by the TSA. You know what the previous record was? The new record's 81. The previous record was 78, set the previous week.
Oh, my.
So, folks, if you're if you've got a handgun and or a shotgun or a rifle or whatever, your carry-on luggage, there are ways to carry a gun onto a plane, and the TSA.gov will explain it all to you, and you can do it very legally and very safely, because if you don't do it this way, the fine is up to $11,000, and you can be arrested on the spot. So this is not, you know, I mean, this is something to be pay very attention to. If you're the kind of person who likes to be an open carry person, then that's what you need to do. Canada, here's another story. Canada reminds U.S. tourists to leave their guns at home. Canadian border officials have had their hands full with U.S. gun owners lately, and now our neighbors to the north are launching a U.S.-geared firearms awareness campaign in response. Canada says that they seized over 400 guns the first half of 2016 alone. Which far exceeds the number that they confiscated the second half of last year. It's like 2.5 times more. So again, folks, if you're traveling to Canada and you're taking a gun, you need to know that gun laws in Canada are very different than they are in the United States. People are not generally allowed to own handguns in Canada. They have a lot fewer people murdered by handguns in Canada. You can figure that all out for yourself. But if you're going to Canada and you're taking a gun, you're getting on an airplane, you're taking a gun, there are some real specific things that you need to know and do if you're traveling that way. Okay, hotel tipping. Here's an interesting little story about hotel tipping, Tom.
Okay.
We talk about this sometimes, about
we
tipping
do.
The housekeeper and the like. This little hotel etiquette study found that 30% do not tip in a hotel at all. Of those who do tip, 46% tip the housekeeper, so at half of the remaining 70%, so about 1 in 3 maybe. 40% tip the room service attendant, so someone who brings something to your room.
Mm-hmm.
30% tip the valet, 20% tip the porter. I guess that's the guy down in the lobby. If you don't have bags to bring up, obviously you wouldn't just hand the guy some money. But anyways, do you tip? We've had this conversation before.
I make sure I have some dollars and readily available. Gonna tip the guy that helps you take your luggage to your room.
Mm-hmm.
Here again, we're gonna swap out all those feather pillows. Because we don't do feathers.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So we got to tip the gal that brings us up the regular pillows. Mm-hmm. And you just feel, I mean, they went to that extra effort to make sure to do that. And then I always leave some money behind for those that, when I have my room clean.
If I get extra service, when I get good service, then it's worthy of a gratuity. Because a gratuity to me is to reward good service. And not to reward crummy service or average service or... You know, I mean, I understand that, you know, all the people in the service industry are all competing with each other. I mean,
true.
Really, they are.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, not all of them are going to get tipped by everybody every day. So it's really and truly the ones who stand out the most. Airfare sales. We mentioned this in the headlines. Couple of good sales going on. Doesn't always happen that they're available to us over a weekend, but in this case, they are. Alaska Airlines has a sale that ends on August the 29th, so that's tomorrow. United Airlines has a very good sale that ends on September the 1st. Remember, the period between Labor Day and Thanksgiving generally is where you find the lowest airfares of the year. So it's not surprising that the airlines are all falling all over each other right now, trying to get you to buy tickets for the fall.
And speaking of airfares, what is it about the price of $173? I was looking at Southwest, a number of different flights. During the holidays, for around Christmas, Thanksgiving, and so forth, to such as San Antonio, mm-hmm. and places like that, the number of 173 was everywhere. Does that mean anything? I mean, why 173? Where did they come up with that?
Honestly?
Yes.
No.
It's just strictly coincidental.
It's just strictly coincidental. TSA is urging, if you are traveling to LaGuardia Airport in New York,
yep.
you know, the one that Joe Biden called a third world country,
mm-hmm.
And he was pretty much right on. Well, they're changing this third world country. They're upgrading it, finally, after all these years. But LaGuardia is stuck in such a spot where it is. It's kind of wedged in. And fixing this place up is going to be a monster job. And they've already started the construction. They're already having a lot of problems with people getting to the airport on time, people getting out of the airport. If you're flying to New York area airport and you can fly into Newark, I would do it. Remember, you can get into downtown Manhattan on the train, on the train, Amtrak or Mark train will take you into town. It's very easy to do. You can go online and figure it out. But if you must go into LaGuardia, TSA is telling you come early. People are not making their flights. It has nothing to do with waiting in line for security. It has to do with being able to get to the airport. So if you know somebody who's traveling to LaGuardia, they expect this current problem to last through the end of September. Travel agents are scrambling to help their customers confirm wedding and honeymoons and obtain refunds as an online service that worked with wedding and honeymooners, Ask Me Incorporated, has folded. One of the challenges of doing business online and not in a brick and mortar store, you know, is that you're sometimes doing business with somebody who's a long ways away.
Right.
And maybe you've never met in person. And if you don't do your homework, why, that could be a problem. So anyways, Ask Me Incorporated is all gone. National Rental Car has a great promotion. If you rent twice from National, again, remember, in the fall, people aren't traveling as much, so they aren't renting as many cars. So the car rental companies, just like the airlines, are out there trying to get you to say, hey, pick me.
Sure.
National, this is really the best car rental promotion that goes on. If you rent a car twice from National, you get a free rental day. So if you rent 2 one-day rentals, yes, you could get a third rental day free. Plus, they have their frequent guest program with National. If you go online and sign up for it, you get enough points, which is half of a free rental day. So National really has a pretty good, their Emerald Club is a pretty good deal. And even if you weren't a member, if you're planning on renting a car a couple times this fall, why not become a member of the Emerald Club with National? Their rates are very competitive. And then maybe you can get yourself a free car rental.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't National tied with a couple of other rental companies as well, or are they one that's independent?
They're with Enterprise. There's really only three companies now. Everybody is owned by Hertz, Avis, and Enterprise, basically. So there are a few small companies out there that are not, but even some of the ones like Advantage and stuff like that, Advantage is now a Hertz company. So yes, there are a lot fewer choices than there ever used to be. Ed Perkins is telling us, when should I buy my Christmas and New Year's Eve flights and when should I buy my Thanksgiving flights? He's writing online, our good buddy Ed. And basically Ed is saying what he said before, 5 to 6 weeks in advance of travel. Anytime after that for holiday travel, you are going to take it in the shorts.
Right.
So buy them before the 6 week mark if you can, but at the 5 to 6 week mark is usually when the airfares start to turn back up for the holiday season. That's from our good buddy Ed Perkins, and that is your travel news for today. Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Breaking news.
Okay,
from
here we go.
Sports Leisure Vacations Travel Desk. Tom, we have at Sports Leisure Vacations a special coach that we use.
The special coach.
We call it Super Coach, mm-hmm, because it has less. It normal coaches that size have 55 seats. Ours has 44. So it's 20% more legroom for everybody. There's a galley in the back. We serve refreshments. It's a special way to travel. Our Super Coach got rear-ended down by Fairfield about a week ago. And it's a Canadian-made bus. And parts have to be brought in from Canada. Some of them have to be specially made. So our Super Coach is going to be in the bus hospital for a while. Perhaps as much as a month, maybe even a little while longer. So all West Coach Lines, which provides our motor coaches, will provide us with very good buses, but they won't have the extra leg room. We won't be serving coffee on trips that depart before after 9 o'clock in the morning because we have coffee pots and stuff on our special bus. The other buses don't have it. You can buy portable coffee, but serving it on a motor coach is very difficult without a countertop to work off of. So if you're a Sports Leisure traveler in the next few weeks, our Super Coach is in the hospital.
Well, all right. Well, good luck. I'm rooting for a quick recovery.
Okay. And finally, if you're a Sports Leisure traveler, reservations for tour preview day, 600 people can come. It's on the 17th of September. 522 of them are spoken for in only 2 weeks. If you'd like to come join us on the 17th of September, go to sportsleisure.com and check it out and give our office a call next week for your reservations. And that is your travel news.
All right, and we are the Travel Guys. Visit travelguysradio.com to follow along. Look, one of the best ways to get to know that spouse or perhaps future spouse is to go on a vacation with them. We've got details on what that's all about coming up next here on the Travel Guys. You know, I was born to be a rambling man. You know that, don't you, Mark?
You sure you weren't a rambler man?
A rambler man. Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's what that, that's what that was. Mark and Tom, Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. You know, one of the, I think, most important part of any kind of travel with a spouse or family members and so forth begins with the planning and the sharing of the planning. I've been working on trying to plan a family vacation here for about 2 months, and all I can tell you is that I just wish somebody else would plan it for me.
Yeah, well, we had Gwen in here last week to help you with your
helped
your vacation to Mexico, and so yes, now you're working on all of that. It's true, though, I believe that traveling with someone will really tell you if you are seriously thinking about getting down and dirty with someone, going traveling with them.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean,
never mind.
And you, going traveling with them is going to help you find out a lot of things that are really going to help you know a lot about that person. For example, you're traveling with someone, you're in constant communication. You're talking to them day and night. It's the first person you talk to in the morning. It's the last person you talk to at night. You're going to get sick of that person. I mean, unless you really do enjoy their company. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you say it's you're around
well,
each
yeah,
other all
I mean,
time.
If the conversation, there's just not enough time for conversation and you basically exhaust yourself having them versus running out of things to say.
Exactly.
You know, in the first day.
You're sitting across the dinner table from each other in a beautiful setting and you can't think of anything to say. That's not a good sign. It may be that you don't have a lot of things in common with that person. Compromise. When you're traveling, there are going to be situations, there are going to be disagreements, small things are going to come up that require compromise on a constant basis. I mean, it's little things, you know. Wait here while I go to the restroom. What do you want off of the menu? You know, it's all the time. You know, and so you said your 40th wedding anniversary is coming up. So, I mean, you and your wife have gone a lot of places. If you weren't able to travel together, you probably wouldn't be celebrating 40 years.
Well, and every relationship's a little different. Sometimes you have to relinquish the power to, you know, accommodate the other person. Sometimes in certain relationships, if you really understand one another, the other person doesn't want to have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. So asking them, where do you want to go, isn't always a good thing. They may be looking for somebody that's going to lead
some
and say,
people
I'm going to take you to a special place.
Some of us who make decisions all day long are not interested in making decisions when we go home at night.
Right.
And some people are control freaks 24/7. Here's another thing. It's when you're traveling, it's truly the best and the worst of times. You're going to have situations when you're traveling. Things are going to get stolen. You're going to get sick. Airplane connections are going to get missed. The weather's going to turn bad. Tickets are going to get lost. Wallets are going to get stolen. These are things that happen to people every day. And if you think about it, one or two of them have happened to just about everybody on the planet from time to time. So that's another reason that you're going to that traveling with somebody is going to show you a little look into their interior psyche. And here's a really probably the most important one: a peek into their spending habits. Because if you travel with somebody together on a vacation for 5, 6, 7 days, even if it's only a quick 3 or 4 day getaway, you're going to start to have a real understanding of how they spend money.
One of the places that this can really be dangerous is if you're traveling to where gambling is.
Ooh.
And one of the partners, usually more so the guy than the gal, but I've known it to go the other way. That just, you don't see much of them.
Right.
And you wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and they're missing in action.
How'd you do at gambling? I lost a few dollars.
Yeah.
$17,000.
Here again, a National Lampoon's version of vacation where they went to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you turned around, Clark was he'd like run to the bathroom. But while instead of going to the bathroom, he had run out into the casino and drop about $2,000 before he came back to order his pancakes. It was hilarious.
Also on the list here, Tom and I are talking about how a relationship, you really want to cement a relationship, you want to know if it's up or down, yes or no, mm-hmm. take a vacation. You'll find out if you're an adventure addict or a hopeless romantic. Are you the guy who jumps off the cliff? Or are you the person who watches the people jump off the cliff? Or
right,
you
or
don't
just
not
want,
anywhere near the cliff.
Yeah, or wants to just kind of stand at the edge of the cliff and enjoy the scenery.
Some people like to go. Some people's idea of camping is setting up a tent in their backyard. That would be me. Mm-hmm. Because then if you've forgotten anything, you can walk inside and get it. But for some people, their idea of camping is going up in the Sierra Nevada, hiking 5 or 6 miles into the middle of nowhere,
right.
and bringing everything in with them and taking everything out.
And sleeping in dirt. My definition of camping is a 3-star motel.
Does Stephanie like to sleep in dirt?
Oh no.
No.
We're
Romano is a
Yeah, you know, we always said, I bet you there's a lot of fun there, lot to be had, but here again, we're not much for creepy bugs and that kind of stuff.
We're
wimps.
Well, the last thing on the list here, when you're going on it, you're trying to figure out if your relationship is for real, so you travel with someone. The last item on the list here is setting boundaries. You're going to spend all that time together, and traveling with someone is a good way to gauge boundaries and set limits too. You know, do you appreciate the same types of things? Do you want time alone at the end of the day? You know, do you want to spend every minute with that other person? Those are all things that you will find out when you go traveling. For certain, you will find out those things.
Well, so, you know, when we after the news, when we bring John Nelson in, John just had an extended vacation not long ago to Europe, travels a lot with family, spouse and kids. And, you know, maybe we can ask him.
Well, and he kind of, you were telling me, he kind of beat the system a little bit. He had a situation that came up and
yes.
he was able to make something happen that not everybody can be able to make happen.
Yeah,
so.
In short, if you've ever been, you know, things have not gone your way because of an airline flight or whatever, and you're looking to maybe get your money back because of it, and, you know, maybe you, well, I don't want to give it all away. You want to be listening to John when he joins us here at 3:35. Mark and Tom, we are the Travel Guys. Find us at travelguysradio.com. Back in just a bit. Well, if you're a National Lampoon vacation fan, you recognize Holiday Road. Love that. And
or just a vacation fan in general.
There you go. And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Our special guest from our promotions department, head of promotions, John Nelson, joins us. John and I ran into each other in the hallway leading up to his vacation and then following it, that he was off to Europe, was going to do a whole bunch of stuff, do some of the things that I've always dreamed of, walking on Abbey Road, you know, go to where the Beatles were and just so much. He's going to an AC/DC concert. Is that right, John?
That is. Thanks for having me, Mark and Tom. I really appreciate it. Yeah, we had a full trip lined up. The reason we went, it was our 20th wedding anniversary. My wife and I were fortunate enough to go to Europe 20 years ago, so we decided to take the family back for our 20th anniversary, and that's where the trip started.
Ah, okay. So, and off you go to Europe. And, John, we were telling folks before the break that you had a situation that came up on your trip, and you were able to extract some pounds of flesh from some of the travel suppliers along the way. Tell us a little bit about, set that up for us.
Well, our trip was, we were flying out of San Francisco, out of SFO, and we had a kind of last minute change. We were supposed to go through Winnipeg, but then we were changed over to go through Vancouver, spent the day in Vancouver, had a great day, got on the plane about 6 p.m., flying over the polar cap toward London. And as we're going over Greenland, which, you know, the sun never set in the whole trip, we heard an announcement that talked about the bathrooms going being broken. So the plane had to be grounded. So that was, we were due to land in London 11 a.m. on a Saturday. Uh-huh. And yes, the AC/DC concert was that night at the Olympic Stadium. And as we're going over Greenland, had to land in Reykjavik, Iceland. So we landed in Iceland, and immediately there was really no information about what was happening. And all we heard was shuttle bus, hotel, overnight stay. And I knew that we had to get to London that night, so I was a little upset. So to your point, Mark, I hopped on Twitter. I used Twitter because I wasn't getting any communication from WestJet. And quickly, within a few minutes...
We should explain to our listeners, WestJet's a Canadian airline.
They are a Canadian-based airline that we were flying from San Francisco to London. And so I hopped on Twitter right away. I said, you know, at WestJet, you know, what's going on with our plane? I used a flight number. And literally within 2 or 3 minutes, I was getting information about that flight over Twitter from the WestJet representatives.
Wow.
And very quickly, we went into the terminal, tried to find another airline to get us to London that night. As it turns out, there were no planes. So we did spend the night in Iceland. Through the Airbnb app, we told our host in London to go ahead and use the concert tickets because we couldn't use them. And we resigned ourselves to doing the best we could in Iceland for a night. And but throughout the process, I will say WestJet put us up in a great hotel, a great bus transfer there. And, you know, so I was using Twitter within a few tweets. Then eventually we started emailing each other. And the WestJet people were very good. They understood our family situation. They realized that we had gone out of pocket about $800 for those ACTC tickets. And so they said they would take care of it. And in the end, very long story short, we got $500 travel credit per ticket purchase. So five family members, $2,500 worth of travel through WestJet. And when I provided the receipt for my ACDC tickets, they gave me a credit on my credit card.
John, I just have one thing to say. I just have one word for all that. Wow.
Yes.
Because I have never heard of any... I mean, occasionally airlines will fold and say, all right, we'll give you the airfare back. We might even refund a hotel charge that you had. But trying to get a refund for a concert that you missed, even though it was something that was directly their fault that you missed it, is really quite amazing. I think it speaks to two things. It speaks to the way that you went after the situation, and it also speaks to who you were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the WestJet people obviously have a little different... filters when it comes to situations like this, because they responded to you. And the fact that you went after, you know, Tom, Ed Perkins has told us several times that Twitter really is a way to go after particular airlines and to try to come up with when you're trying to resolve one of these situations. And indeed, here we have living proof that that was a way that worked for him.
When you use Twitter, is there any particular kind of verbiage or anything that you did, you know, that may have helped the process that you would advise our listeners?
Well, real small thing. I was very polite. I wasn't threatening. I wasn't, you know, I was just wanted information at first. Then I just wanted to make sure I was heard. And I think it was my daughter, maybe somebody on the transfer bus came up. They said, why don't you use hashtag Flyway to Hell, sort of a takeoff on the AC/DC classic, Highway to Hell. Well, we were on the Flyway to Hell. That's what we thought. So we used that hashtag, and maybe that made them stand out a little bit more. But so just, I think being civil, being nice, just, you know, expressing what my concern was and not being threatening about it maybe helped me out.
Yeah, probably. Did you mention on your trip that you had some interesting adventures with Airbnb, both positive and not so positive?
Yeah, we did. I think that when we decided to book the trip about 3-4 months out, we decided to try Airbnb. Our biggest challenge with Airbnb was the hosts not keeping their calendar updated. So we asked for a lot of houses thinking it was available, only to find out they hadn't created a up-to-date calendar. So it did take us 3 or 4 you know, requests and declines in each city. But overall, I'd say we had a great experience. We were paying maybe $150 a night for a family of five to stay.
In what city?
Well, we stayed in London. I think our rate was about $180 a night in London. In Paris, about $190 a night for a family of five. And then in Rome, we also had and Rome was a great deal, $125 a night.
What kind of accommodations?
I would say a 2-bedroom flat with, you know, 2 bathrooms. We said 2 bathrooms, 2 bedrooms, to accommodate 5 people. And we had great experiences. And in between those experiences, we had hotel rooms for either 1 or 2 nights. And we ended up traveling mostly by train. We did rent a car for our trip from Geneva, Switzerland to Florence, Italy. And we did have a break-in, Mark. We were there with a brand new SUV. Uh-huh. And fortunately, we paid $30 for the insurance when we were in Switzerland. And when we were in the United Nations taking a tour, our SUV was broken into, and we just took it to the airport, and because of the insurance, we got a similar car and drove off to Florence.
Okay, so John, you said family of five, and Tom, we just spent the better part of 10 minutes talking about relationships and going on. You guys had a trip that was, you know, full of ups and downs, adventures. Yes.
It was.
So how did the family hang in there?
We did well. There were a few down times when, you know, I think being tired didn't help with three teenagers in the back of the SUV. Things got a little crazy. Sometimes our communication with people wasn't so great. But overall, we did well. I think early on, we did a trip to New York and D.C. 2 years ago. So I think our children knew a little bit about, you know, sort of, we called it, you know, the working vacation. There was no resting and relaxing going on. So everybody sort of knew what the plan was. So I think even when we experienced times of down as a family, we brought it in and we hugged it out and then we kept going.
Who was it? One of your family members got lost in a museum. Is this true?
Yes. My middle son, Jake, tends to get lost. And we the four of us, except for Jake, we're walking along and we realize, where's Jake? Where's Jake tends to be sort of a rallying call of our vacation. And as it turns out, he was waiting for us in the gift shop. And after about 20 minutes, we located him.
Jake tends to get lost?
We call him the lone wolf. He likes to blaze his own path. And sometimes that path doesn't coincide with the way the rest of the family's going. Love you, Jake.
That's a great. That really is a great story, and probably parallels that of some of the folks who are listening on the radio right now. John, if you were going to tell somebody who's getting ready for their first European family vacation together, if you were to give them a couple of hints in hindsight after what happened to you with the Airbnb and the airline, how did you end up on WestJet?
Well, probably based on price.
Okay.
You know, we went on a website, we booked it that way. By
you did
based
your
on,
homework.
Yeah, based on price. We got a great price. It was WestJet. Did a little research. We felt like it would be okay.
Kind of the Southwest Airlines of Canada, for folks who don't know. And they do have a good reputation.
Yeah, they do.
And I think that, and they have a reputation for taking care of people kind of in the Southwest sort of fashion. And what you've told us here today has kind of played out. Anyway, I interrupted you. A couple of thoughts maybe for folks who are thinking about that first grand family vacation together?
Well, I think that the legs when we took the train was great. I think riding the train in Europe was wonderful. A lot of people do your rail pass. We looked at that and decided against it. We booked reserved seats on each of our legs, and that worked out great. Economically, we, you know, family of five going from Florence to Rome for $100, no problem. You know, whereas renting a car with the extra expenses and the gas and the parking and things like that, we did do one leg on the car, but in retrospect, we should have just done the train the whole way. So I think train travel was good. I think a lot of people give you advice over data service there. It was kind of on and off for me. Throughout Italy, I didn't have data service, and that was a little hard. So I think also relying on GPS apps when you're in Europe, you can't always rely on those. I think that we tend to, in the United States, we look at our smartphone that gets us everywhere. Well, we were on our own a few times in Europe. So,
John, tell folks what you're going to do with that money that you picked up when you got the refund from WestJet and for the tickets. I know you got something in mind.
Well, you know, part of the reason why we wanted to see AC/DC in London is I'm trying to pass on the heritage of a classic rock band to my sons, Ben, who's here with me, and Jake. And they really showed, you know, wanting to see the band.
If we can find Jake.
Yeah. Because I'm not sure where he is right now. But so we, when we got back home and we realized that we're going to be reimbursed for our tickets and also get a travel credit, we found that AC/DC with Guns N' Roses lead singer Axl Rose is doing about an 8 to 10 concert date swing up and down the East Coast. So once we saw that Labor Day weekend coincided with their show in Cleveland, we decided to rebook hashtag 2016 Nelson World Tour, and we're going to Cleveland for 3 days. So our expense on it is very low because thanks to WestJet. And so we're planning a Pro Football Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Cedar Point, and then we're going to rock out with AC/DC on what will probably be one of their last concert dates now that their lead singer can no longer perform. So I just want to make sure my boys had a chance to see them before they retired.
Well, since Jake wandered off and we don't know where he went, Ben's here. Ben, flip on your microphone and tell me, are you as excited to seeing AC/DC as Dad is, you think?
I'm very excited. Yeah.
All right. And with that vacation that you did, would you do it all again?
Probably yes.
All right.
What was your favorite place in Europe?
Rome.
Rome. You liked Rome a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And was there anything in particular that you liked about Rome or?
The food.
The food.
Yeah.
The food. Ah, okay. See, he's already a real seasoned traveler. He's already working on the culinary side of travel.
John, thanks so much. And Ben, thank you so much for coming and sharing your vacation with us. And let's do this again.
Yeah, John, thank you. Those are some really good tips, and thank you very much.
Great. Thanks for having us, guys.
All right. It's the Pageant of the Masters, Laguna Beach, beautiful in San Francisco. And Mark, probably one of the best shows that he's ever seen.
Absolutely.
At the Music Circus, Hunchback of Notre Dame. We're going to talk about it all next on the Travel Guys.
Chewing on a piece of grass.
Couldn't be a nicer Sunday, and it couldn't be any nicer having all of you folks all tuned in to listen to us here on the Travel Guys. Thanks for your listenership, both today and in the past and in the future. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as promised, we're going to talk about some really great shows. Mark, why don't you take it away and start with the your visit recently to Laguna Beach in the Pageant of the Masters.
We have been taking folks to Southern California, to Laguna Beach, to see a cultural arts event for probably pretty close to 30 years now. And in recent years, we've gone every year. Patricia Hansen, who is one of my staff members, does a terrific job of putting together a wonderful experience for folks. If you've never heard of it before, the Pageant of the Masters is where famous works of art are brought to life by human tableaus. I mean, people recreate, for example, their last one every year is The Last Supper. So the curtain comes up, and here are human beings in makeup and costume portraying The Last Supper, or portraying their theme this year was partners. So there were a lot of two-person things. They had some Lewis and Clark stuff, believe it or not. And you'd say, well, these are just all people, statues kind of standing, trying. 90 seconds each one is shown for. So you have to be able to hold your place for 90 seconds, which is kind of interesting the way they do it. And I won't go into huge detail, but it's just a fascinating event. And if you like the cultural arts and you've never been to this and you've heard about it, I'd heard about it for years and years and years, have taken probably literally a couple thousand people to it and had never seen it myself. And for 90 minutes, it is just this most amazing. You wouldn't think, you would say, well, that would be about like watching paint dry. But it's not like that at all. There is a lot of movement. There was a guy on a zip line who came across in the middle of the thing. It's not all just about the tableaus. It's in some cases about talking about them and introducing them to people. And in many cases, there's a story behind a painting or a particular work of art, a sculpture or something like that.
So in some cases, the characters within the portraits will talk.
No, but there's a narrator.
I see. Okay.
So they strike
the pose that of the famous Masters painting.
And then you have
a narrator to talk about it. Now, how much time? So you say this is a 90-minute show, and as you were saying, the last scene is the Last Supper. How many minutes between scenes?
That's another thing. I thought, well, you know, you're going to go and it's going to take them 10 more minutes to set something up, but they have these little side stages and side venues, and in fact a couple of them were up on a mountaintop outside of the amphitheater that in Laguna Beach, which holds about 2,600 people, and this show goes from early July to late August every year, so 7-8 weeks. It's been going since the mid-1930s. It originally came about in, what was it, 34, the Olympics were in Los Angeles, 32, Olympics were in Los Angeles, and the idea was they were trying to get people to come down from Los Angeles to Laguna Beach during the Olympics and spend some of their money. So it was all about, you know, creating commerce and stuff like that. But really, really a great show. They also have, on the grounds of the Pageant of the Masters, a thing called the Festival of the Arts, which is juried local artisans. So this isn't an arts and crafts show. This is not where you go to buy knickknacks. This is where you go to buy beautiful, unique works of art by local artisans who have fought and scratched and clawed to be one of the people who are lucky enough to be juried and get into this show. And so you can walk around and talk to them. They'll tell you about the things that they do, and it's all very, very, very fascinating. The tickets are about, I think it's $60 we paid to see the show, and you can dine there in the evening. You can bring your own dinner in with you. There are a couple of other art shows across the street that you can see, so you can make an entire afternoon evening out of it. And the weather there in Laguna is generally very nice in the evenings. In fact, I recommend folks take a jacket. So it's Laguna Beach, Pageant of the Masters, and Festival of the Arts. It's done every summer. Sports Leisure Vacations takes folks every year, but it really is something that if you enjoy the cultural arts, it's something that you really should try to get to. Now, getting to a little bit closer to home, in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago, the show Beautiful from Broadway opened up.
And this is the one that portrays at least a portion of the life of the famous songwriter and singer Carole King.
Absolutely. And this show started in San Francisco, uniquely enough, before it went to Broadway. And so it has a little bit of a San Francisco history. It was very successful on Broadway. The female lead won the Tony for Best Actress. And it's all about the music. Carole King was a songwriter, wrote a lot of her and her husband. A lot of the popular songs of the 60s, and they worked with another songwriting team. Their catalogs were incredible. Anyway, this show is getting great reviews. And what I have to say is that if you are a woman and you're between the ages of about 60 and 80, and you at all enjoyed the music of Carole King, all I have to say to you is, why have you not gone to see this show yet? It's the music is wonderful. It's an upbeat show. It's wonderful to see, and it really is a delightful presentation. So I strongly recommend that you get tickets and go see it. Unfortunately, you cannot go with us because all of our tickets we took, I think we got 15 or 16 bus tickets. All gone.
Went fast.
Well, they did over a period of several months. But there are still tickets available, and you can see it in San Francisco. And finally, I wanted to end this little soliloquy of here about entertainment by talking a little bit about the show that is probably wrapping up. Well, it just wrapped up a few minutes ago at Music Circus, or it's wrapping up in a few minutes. The last show of the season was Hunchback of Notre Dame. And I went to see it Tuesday night with Clayton. And I just have to tell you... And nobody can accuse me of trying to pump up the box office because the show is it's over now. We can't sell any tickets. It was the best Music Circus show I have ever seen.
And why was that?
Because Music Circus is about traditional shows that people, when you go to a Music Circus show at intermission, you know how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it before. You're there because you enjoyed it the first time, the third time, the fifth time, and you wanted to see it again. Well, Hunchback of Notre Dame is not a show that people have seen. So at intermission, nobody knew how the show ended. And there was a buzz. If you haven't heard, the deaf character, Quasimodo, in the performance was played by a deaf character. And he was brilliant. And he did not sing. They had an actor who sang his songs, but he did his own speaking to parts. And it just created this incredible bond between the audience and the performers, and it was done in the round, which is extremely difficult to do. And this show's only been mounted. This is only the fifth time that it's been mounted, and Disney someday hopes to take it to Broadway. And it just was an amazing show. And for the Music Circus people, there were a lot of folks that this was an optional show. They didn't have to include this in their package, and a lot of people didn't.
So was the crowd not full?
Well, it wasn't full. No, we went Tuesday night. There were 300 or 400, I'd say, maybe 500 empty seats. So, 2,500 people. It was mostly full. It was a mm-hmm. good crowd, mm-hmm. but it wasn't a typical Music Circus crowd. But all I have to say is those folks who passed on that show, they really made a huge mistake because you're going to have a little bit more faith in the Music Circus and the California Music Theater people in the future, because they knew what they were doing here. They picked the show, they presented it and mounted it. They only have 9 rehearsals for Music Circus productions. 9 days to get ready. 8 rehearsals, 9 days, because they take one day off in the middle. And this was just an amazing piece of theater. And for it to be done right here in Sacramento, they had to get special permission from the Disney folks in order to do it this way. And so it may go to Broadway one of these days. And if it goes to Broadway, it's probably going to look something like the way it did in Sacramento. And folks here will have seen it first. Just a huge kudos to Richard and Matt and all the people at California Musical Theater who regularly bring us really great stuff here into town. But this was something that was really incredibly special.
Thanks for the reviews, Mark. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
The show is gone. Travel Guys winner, $100 winner, Pat Zanetta. Call Sports Leisure Vacations Monday or Tuesday before 4 o'clock. We will have a new contest coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Next week, Travel Guys will be back here to make you a smarter traveler, bring you up to date on the travel news. You can find our radio program for a podcast at Travel Guys Radio, KFBK.com, and you can hear us on iHeartRadio. You have a wonderful week, Mark.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, my friends, you stay well. We'll see you next Sunday.